Welcome back to the Black Is Break with yours truly, Casey Lehman. It's been a minute. Tonight's podcast is going to be an interesting one because the family did a Black Is field trip, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. Before we get into it, though, we want to make sure you can reach us. If you love this podcast or hate it, give us a call, 323-455-4219. You can find us on Twitter at Black Is Online and at Facebook at Black Is Magazine. Tonight's topic is the Scottsboro Boys, the musical. And this is the field trip that a lot of the family went to go see. How long ago was that with you guys? About a couple weeks?
Couple weeks ago.
2 weeks ago? Memorial Day? Before Memorial Day? No, yeah, after.
That was last week.
Yeah, that was just last week. It was last Wednesday. Yeah, it was. And the play is based off of the historic incident in 1931 in Alabama, Scottsboro, Alabama, where 9 black boys were accused of rape by 2 white women and arrested and tried. And the trial and situation itself changed. I believe some of the court and all white jury situations. I don't want to lie to you, but I know it had an impact on the overall justice system in regards to dealing with that sort of trial, the makeup, the racial makeup of the jury, because of the impact of the case on the 9 boys. From what we understand, I think only 1 of the 9 went on to actually live a decent life at some point after being released. But the trials themselves spanned over a decade. With the exception of, I think, 3 of the members, 3 or 4, who were minors. And originally, all of them were sentenced to death.
Right.
Just at the accusation. And mind you, the accusation was false. The 2 white women lied about the rape to save themselves because they were in danger of being arrested for loitering or
train hopping.
Yeah, train hopping. And they were prostitutes, if I'm not mistaken. Ladies of the street. So to avoid getting charges put on them, they just accused these 9 black boys, 2 of whom were brothers, the rest of them all strangers, of rape. And so we went to go see this musical. It was at the Amundsen Theater. And the musical is interesting in the sense that it is given to us in a minstrel format. It is a minstrel show. And I don't know. From the onset, the idea of taking a historic incident that is so very serious and putting it in a minstrel format, we automatically, I think, kind of went in knowing that they were going to try to make us laugh in some sort of ways. And it's not really a story that you can laugh at. There's nothing funny about it. But I'll say this about it. My initial reaction to it was that I was happy that the story itself was being told, because this is one of those American history events that nobody knows or talks about. Nobody knows about this event. It's just completely swept under the rug. Nobody talks about this at all. So the fact that it is in a musical on stage and therefore bringing the actual historic incident to light for all of America, I think that's a good thing. I've gotten into some conversations with some people about the minstrel format and whether or not it would have been more hard hitting if it were a more dramatic play. I think no matter how this play was done, be it comedy or drama, it would have dealt with some criticism because of the story that it was telling. I can't think of any black theatrical production that deals with something this sorted. I can't think of one. And there are some that deal with some serious situations, but this one to me is probably the most serious. So I don't know how you would treat this for the stage. Maybe it might have been better received as a film. I don't know. But it definitely has been surrounded with controversy. There have been performances where people have gotten up and left. I'm going to open it up to the family. What did you guys think?
No, I was going to say, I think there were even people that left the night that we viewed the play. There were definitely 2 people that left. Who were to the side of me. It was interesting. In fact, in the very beginning, the way the play worked out, there was a lot of the stereotypical cooning and things that kind of made me feel uncomfortable as a black person. But what was interesting is there were 2 white women sitting next to me, And when that whole cooning part was going on, they were laughing. They were having a good time. It was interesting. And I was feeling real uncomfortable.
Yeah, right.
But once they started to analyze the white women, which was within like the first scene as well, when they bring the two black men and they're doing the white, then they got real quiet and they left. And I'm going to keep it real. Like I got excited. I was looking for them to come back. Like I was looking around and where I was, where my seat was, I was towards the back. They didn't come back. Hmm. So I just thought, and a couple of podcasts ago, you know, I had to say with a different piece of art, I said, to me, the art isn't complete until the audience sees it. And I feel like even when I have conversations, talk about Django Unchained and different things, I feel like that is a concern for a lot of black people. It's like, yeah, I may have this intellectual take on it, but when white people see it, are they laughing at us? Or what are they taking away from it?
Right.
And before, I never thought about it. I never cared because I see it in mass media. I'll be honest. I don't go to plays that often. I go watch movies. So when you watch a movie, it's a much more isolated thing than when you go see a play. And when you go see a play, it's a much more intimate experience. So then I became much more aware of the white audience, you know, and it was just interesting. So, you know, this is Arian, by the way. But yeah, I'll pass it.
And I'm sorry, I didn't even introduce the group here. So we have Chris Layman, Tash Mosley, and Arian White. Arian, I agree with you. I was very aware of the white audience that night and what they found funny in comparison to what some of us found funny or didn't find funny.
Right.
I enjoyed the play. I thought it was a good play. I knew coming in it was going to be controversial, like you were telling me. It was going to be shown in a minstrel show. So I'm like, oh, okay, this is different. I wouldn't see this normally, so cool. Like, all right, let me actually see this. And the guy who was playing the darker character,
the lead character?
No, the guy who was playing, like, the black coon.
Oh, like the Tambo and Bones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was good because he was always playing basically the black person or the person who's always hating on them.
Yeah. I thought they were both good for the Tambo and Bones character. They were effective.
You know, and it was starting with them asking, you know, hey, Moss, can we tell the truth this time? Like, oh, okay. And he's like, And when you explain to me what the interloper.
Don't get me to try to pronounce the word tonight. Interlocutor. The interlocutor is the white person in a minstrel show who basically translate what's happening to the white audience. So that's why they're there. All minstrel shows have an interlocutor. Most minstrel shows have a Tambo and Bones character to kind of move the action along. But that's the white Colonel Sanders character, that was his job. His job is there to kind of pacify and make comfortable the white audience with whatever discomfort they're feeling at watching right. this on stage.
Well, that's what a minstrel show is meant to do to begin with, is to make light and comedy of subjects and make it like kind of sugarcoat them for white people. And to that point, I didn't see this as Tash. I didn't see why the story had to be told in a minstrelsy format at all. Like, and I found it not smart enough. Like, it's a self-knowing play. It knows it's a minstrel show going in, and it has a big big payoff in the end. By its account. But I didn't find it smart enough to actually carry off what it was trying to do. It wasn't layered enough, and it just became a flat minstrel show. Yeah, the lead guy, Joshua Henry, was amazing.
Yeah, he was.
He was really good.
And the two minstrel, the Tambo and Bone guys, they were great actors and performers. But essentially, I saw people nodding off, and I said to myself, this is a long play. And 5 minutes into it, I said, they will not have an intermission. Because if they have an intermission, half the people who are in this play won't come back. And I just intuitively felt, I was like, oh, so they workshopped it in New York and they figured out that they lost half of their audience. So they're gonna strap us to the chair and make us watch it to see whatever happens at the end. You know, and at the end, they put the nine Scottsboro boys in blackface while they're telling the, for the most part, awful things that became of their life as a result of this miscarriage of justice. Mm-hmm. But I've seen irreverent stuff done with serious... subject matters, and this wasn't one that carried it off like with a certain amount of like depth and humanity and insight to me. It just wasn't smart enough to do what it was attempting to do. And it also kind of stresses for me that the minstrel show, though it has become a part of the Black storytelling format, is in some ways, for Black people, a perverted, self-knowing way of telling a story to white people and slipping things in mm-hmm. so that we can say stuff about them. Mm-hmm. But like the word nigga, it might just not... It might not be in our best interest to have so much satisfaction and self, you know, so much enjoyment from doing this performance art.
Well,
because it is a performance art.
Well, that's definitely what the purpose of it was for us to be able to tell off the white man in a way that was digestible for them, and a way to be able to tell the true stories so that it was digestible for them. I completely agree with you.
But
that
we're
it was
not
too
in
long.
This time.
It
in
ran
this
about
time,
20 minutes. Too
we
long
don't need to sugarcoat stuff. I mean, listen, when we're dealing with, mind you, it's a musical, so you know there's going to be a levity. And then on the musical tip, I didn't feel as if the musical arrangement fit the story or the what's it called, the milieu, the time, the period. I felt as if the music for to tell the story of nine Black guys in Alabama, please help me. Where are we in Mississippi?
No, Alabama.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. In Alabama in the 1930s, 26, 1931. I didn't think the arrangement, the music accompaniment fit. I thought I was watching No No Nanette, you know, like, and they're dancing and they're pirouetting. I'm like, what the hell is this?
And see, I had a conversation with my mother-in-law probably the next day, and she and I both agreed that was a weakness. There was no, with musicals, you usually walk away with at least one song that you remember.
Right.
There was no memorable music from this
I
musical.
I agree. Yeah, that's a good point.
And that for them is going to be a problem, you know, because you want to walk away humming or singing something. And if you don't, then, yeah, I mean,
that,
something's missing.
That part hurt it because it, you didn't. You always want some signature song. It didn't have it. Another thing that I read about it, which I agreed, was that because of the time frame, you didn't really get to know anybody else's character but the lead.
Yeah,
right.
You only get to know one Scottsboro boy, the one who basically just died in jail.
Right. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. You know, and although, you know, he did well, you know, but you also feel like, well, maybe some of these other guys could have had more shine. Like the guy who was playing the lead, the main white chick.
Right.
He was good to me.
He was really good.
I thought the dudes who played the white chicks were excellent, actually.
They were.
Because if
can
I
we
quote,
address, can well, we hold on, unpack
let me, let,
them?
Yeah, yeah, I'm down.
Okay,
I'm,
good,
hold on,
good.
I'm going to get to that. But but to the point of skill, if you close your eyes, I feel like you would have heard two white women singing. Like, I thought they were that awesome.
Totally.
But that aside, it took me literally two or three days to figure out if I actually liked the musical.
Okay.
It took two or three days for me to figure out if I even liked the musical. And I'll be honest, going into this, David Thompson, he's a white playwright.
Mm-hmm.
I've had my issues like with Tropic Thunder. Like I just, and I'm a Robert Downey Jr. fan. Like mm-hmm. My thing is, when you use blackface, it needs to be for a very high or important reason.
True.
We talked about Spike Lee, Bamboozled, and I feel like the content of Bamboozled, or to even Tasha's point, it was a smart enough movie. And there was enough content in the film to where, you know, it warranted using blackface. Having said that, I was going to say, I do, to Tasha's point, like, can you tell a story without using the minstrel show format? Of course. What I thought was interesting, my takeaway was, to me, this was the beginning of entertainment trials. If you think of, like, O.J. Simpson, if you think of name any entertainment trial. And I thought the idea of the minstrel show, making it a minstrel show, I think the point of the playwright was, you know, their trial was a minstrel show. It dragged on. They wanted you to get the audience's perspective, not just us, the audience, but the audience of the time. You know, the judge, you got the sense that the case was reacting to public opinion, you know, and
yes.
And so I feel like that was the point of using the minstrel show aesthetic. And then what happened to four other boys? They went into vaudeville. They were entertainers. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So these weren't just nine Scottsboro boys on trial. These were nine entertainers on trial. Their life was entertainment. Right. Even when you think about hip-hop artists and the dangerous lives they lead, and that's entertainment to us. Oh, he got shot nine times. He got five times. That ups the excitement. Mm-hmm. It's about the profit of black death. You know, it's about the entertainment of black death. So
I agree with the. I completely agree with the idea that it was a show, but it can still be a show on platform and not be minstrelsy.
That was the very first thing I said. Can this story be told without that as necessity? Most definitely. I just wanted in this discussion to point out that I do feel like that was kind of like the point of using it. Now, to my point of, was it worth it? That was something I had to grapple with for 2 or 3 days. Because I said, even going into the play, I don't feel I don't feel white artistic creators going into blackface. Like, there's something to the core that bugs me. So I'll say
doubly so because the music was not on, didn't fit.
Well, and that was my last point, and I'm gonna say I don't know. I don't know if they wanted to leave you humming a song. I felt like if they would have left you humming a song, then that would have played into this idea that it was racist and that it was entertaining. In other words,
you know what I mean?
Like if you go away with something, I didn't think they wanted song it to strike be popular,
chords,
catchy.
But song strike chords. And I mean, it can be a song as deep as Simon and Garfunkel's.
Right.
Something. I mean, the song can be really intelligent and have you remembering like, wow, have you unpack everything that you just so, and if they wanted to strike a chord and it's a musical, it just seems like go ahead and write me a chord that I'll remember.
I would say that the best song in there was probably the one where he's lead guy singing. I forgot what looked the song up, but he would do this version and then he would say the same thing in a white like
buck his eyes.
Was that the choral?
That was like that I Don't Know Nothing song is the one Chris is referring to. The song I found most striking was the one.
Yeah, it was nothing.
Because he would do it regularly and then he would just
like,
kind of. He would like shuffle shine. And soft shoe for it.
Right.
But the song that they did that was a cappella where they were talking about like Alabama, like Sweet Alabama. To me, that one was a beautiful song. As far as its melodic construction and their singing, the a cappella singing was
that the intro?
Beautiful.
Was that the first song?
No, that was towards the end. That was towards the end.
And that's when they kind of were turned on the Colonel Sanders character. He was like, wait, how come you guys are perverting these lyrics?
Right.
Yeah, I have to say that a cappella song was my favorite.
Right.
I have to agree.
I like them pushing the buttons in a sense because I'm like, they speaking the truth. I'm comfortable with it. I don't have a problem seeing stuff like that because I'm like, we always talk about they cooning now,
right?
And if somebody's like, well, let me show you what a real coon is, then you can see like what they're using it. But I'm like, technically it feels like they're using it because you know all the crappy all of that is cooning now.
Yeah, but I'm like, it's sugarcoating.
But I mean,
it's making it more digestible.
Yeah, but I'm like, the stuff we're watching is digestible now.
And that's what I was getting at earlier.
But I'm like, the stuff that we actually watch now, that like the stuff with Bamboozle, basically showing like, I'm going to make these people coon on here. This is what I'm doing.
No,
but
Bamboozled is a statement about what people are currently doing and how it is a modern day.
But
minstrel.
I guess I think what he's referencing is like modern day cooning. So if we're looking at reality TV shows, something like that makes that sort of entertainment more digestible for the masses.
It's saying cooning,
but we don't want that. Or do we want either of them?
But I mean, how many? You're saying this a lot. Can you name me a lot of these that are actually like I actually see minstrel shows? Like right now.
Okay, so wait. Okay, so yeah. This is, I guess, and maybe I should kind of thread this a lot better, is if in fact we have a problem with the legacy that playing the coon has meant in our culture to where we do have modern day minstrel shows and say, you know, Love and Hip Hop, Atlanta, or whatever, maybe it's time for us to unpack. That's an if.
All right, maybe it's
untime for us to unpack and not just passively accept something that is told a serious story about a miscarriage of justice about nine black men in Alabama being accused of rape and automatically being sentenced to death without a proper trial. Maybe if we have a problem with that, maybe we should really say, how does the minstrel motif serve us, and is it something we want to maintain, or are we ready to let it go?
Okay, here's what I find interesting, because I almost want to redo this podcast with an older generation, because my mother-in-law and I chit-chatted about the play the next day or the day after for a minute, and the first thing she said was, if this had been a serious drama, I wouldn't have seen it. I wouldn't have wanted to see it. I would have left because that would have made me uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And so I think the digestible part is not really just for sugarcoating for white folks. It's for us too. It makes it, it easy for us to accept it as well. Cause if it was really dramatic and they dealt with all that seriousness, we would have all been getting pissed off.
I think it is the same bone in us that will not air clips of the Twin Towers after 9/11. Like in Friends, you know how they in the opening sequence, they had the Twin Towers and they decided to take it because it was too painful. And for me, it's like, no, leave it in. Let's remember the history so that it pulls up all the stuff that we feel about it. But I can see where, yeah, you're right. It makes it more digestible for us as well.
I just want to chime in because I haven't seen the play, so I can't really speak on it myself, but my dad did go to see it with my mom, and his thoughts were, and your mother-in-law and my dad are the same generation, and he hated it. He hated it because he felt like it was a coonery. He felt like it was a joke. He wanted to walk out on it just because it was too light. And he's like, you know, how are you going to make light of something like this? Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to throw that in, talking about, you know, the other generations. But understanding, you know, I could understand wanting to add a little bit of lightness to it, a little airiness to mm-hmm. it. But, you know, just speaking from my dad, he was just... He hated it. And see, what that
brings back to me though is I almost think it's the story itself.
Right.
It wouldn't matter how it was told. It's the story itself that bothers people. And what makes me think of that, I'm gonna have an anecdotal moment here. When I was a drama teacher, I called myself putting together a small little drama about Emmett Till because my students did not know who Emmett Till was. It didn't go to the part where he was killed, but it told who he was, his backstory, Chicago, all of that. And I remember one of the vice principals at my school was just so upset. He was like, why would you want to talk about this? I mean, that boy was murdered and that story was terrible. And I said, well, it's our history and the kids don't know it. But because of how bad the story was, that was the discomfort. And I think that's what makes Scottsboro uncomfortable for everybody. Minstrel show, drama possibly. It wouldn't even matter, I think, how it was told. It's the situation that makes people, they don't want to talk about it. Nobody wants to talk about it or deal with it.
You think the play treats the story with respect and dignity?
I think it tries. I mean, part of the funny parts is showing us kind of being like, you know, Punky, I'm not gonna do this. Like what he actually, where, you know, where they steal the star or they just do mischievous, you know, shit. Basically, like, you know, you're constantly just putting your foot in my face. So I'm just going to do something to kind of just get over on you real quick.
Try to undermine.
We kind of like, oh, that's funny that he actually got over on him. You know, where he, the guy where he's trying to teach him the lead to read, and he's basically like drawing like boobs, you know, which was funny to me. And also was like, well, I mean, to me, I'm always like, the way the kids are now, maybe you need to teach these Negroes like that. Maybe they actually learn their ABCs.
I do. You know what? I want to, I'm not to harp on this point. Yeah, to harp on this point, I do want to get back to this idea of using a minstrel show to say something about the idea of an entertainment trial. And I do think, when I think about Center Theater Group in general, the plays I've seen, that they want to offend the audience at times. Mm. And so, like, I saw this one, I think it was either Small Change or it was something, I think it was Small Change, where they were talking about sweatshop labor and Walmart workers. And the people who go to Center Theater Group are the people who employ the people at the wages that they were doing and that they were talking about in this play. And to your point, Kim, you're right. I feel like they're insulating us on purpose, but I feel like they're insulating us on purpose to kind of point at black and white people to say, you know, there's minstrel shows going on now that you are emotionally detached from. If you have this emotional reaction to this musical, you should have an emotional reaction to how they characterize Charles Ramsey. You should have an emotional reaction to how they characterize rappers. You should have an emotional reaction to the minstrel shows that go on every day. Same way that when George Zimmerman, and I think that's horrible that that happened, that we harp on that, but it's like, shouldn't we be just as upset when black-on-black crime happens? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And so now, to Tasha's point, this is where I feel you. Can we get rid of the minstrel show as an aesthetic to tell the story? Like, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like not just about this play, but in general, like, why do we still need this aesthetic to tell stories? I feel you on that. why couldn't they do this as an entertainment news story? You know what I mean? Like, and to me, that's where I'm connecting with your
or
point.
Or as a musical. As a musical. Is, that's a show. That's a spectacle. The in the modern day whatever sense that spectacles is. Are. But just because there's black people in it doesn't mean it has to be a minstrel spectacle. Definitely. And so the Definitely. Thing is... And the thing is, the connection, the link that you're drawing, which is blowing my mind, because I'm like, yeah, this is great. Like, that's, I should be thinking of it like that. The show didn't help me draw that link, only you did by articulating it. And I'm curious how many people who saw it got the same link that that Arian got. Like, Arian went deep and dug deep for it, but I'm looking to find something redemptive about it. Well, I couldn't find that link.
But even the end, when you have Rosa Parks, the whole idea is that there's a double audience. Like, we're the audience, but the fact that you have that distracting black woman, which to me, I thought that was kind of tacky. I didn't like the use of Rosa Parks. It was just random.
I just wish they actually used her more.
Yeah, like, it was just random. Yeah,
she was just
it was that, random.
The woman in there being.
But
the
I was
help,
talking. But I was talking to now to my point about white audiences. I was talking to this white person who I work with who also saw Scottsboro Boys, and they were like, well, the whole thing about Rosa Parks was, well, she saw the history, and then she would go on to move things forward. And I was like, okay. But I was like, that was such a jump. Like, to me, Emmett Till is a more – that there's more of a connection with the Emmett Till story because you're dealing with the connotation.
The time period.
See, I got
and
it.
Not just the time period, but black man and white female dynamics. Mm-hmm. That's what Scottsboro Boys is about. It's about, you know – these brothers with these white women and what's really going on. And, you know, one of the white, and we didn't bring that up, but one
I have to agree. Yeah, women, that was glossed over in the end by using Rosa Parks instead of, say, an Emmett Till as the.
Definitely.
Yeah.
That was tacky. But the use of Rosa Parks is to remind us that this was a huge news story, that Rosa Parks was a younger woman watching this news story because this was a national news story. They kept, I'm going to keep it real. I felt like they hit you over the head with the fact that this was a big news story because they kept getting into this idea that, oh, these people think this, and the communists think this, and the socialists think this.
Right, and the Jews from New York come down and are trying to tell us what to do in the South.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So it and was it this, went off. And they kept hitting you with the fact that this is a national
news
story.
That was
an
excellent.
Yeah. So, I mean, my point is, and I feel you, I feel like they can tell that story without the minstrel show. I don't want to gloss over the real meaning, though, behind what I think the playwright was trying to
see,
do.
See, I got that point with your friend. She was like, oh, she's supposed to have seen it. I do wish that she was at least was the help or something. Was able to just had a speaking part in it.
It was just random.
Can I tell you what I saw that black woman as? I thought she was symbolic of all of their mothers. From a distance, knowing this is happening to my young black boy, and I am powerless to really do anything but sit back and watch this happen.
Right.
That's who I thought she was supposed to be.
Too?
Right.
Yeah, a little, yeah.
When she became Rosa Parks at the end, I didn't expect that because that's who I thought her to be.
I like that. I didn't think of that, but actually, that is interesting.
Yeah.
Because there was one point where the lead brother was on stage, and how the light was shown, she was kind of. Like, what's the word I'm looking for? Her shadow was cast on the stage behind him, like huge
I remember that.
And
yeah.
looming. You know, and if I'm not mistaken, that was the moment where he either was remembering his mother or she had just died or something. So I took that to be, this is who this woman is supposed to be. Yeah.
They had some of the stories in there were deep, like that story with him describing his mother getting raped. I mean, that story was like. Damn, because you knew it was coming as soon as like he didn't get the honey and she was like, well, the white man gonna want his honey. It's like
you knew where that was going.
Really,
I like that line.
And
it was a good
way. I
got
the point of
using
the story being just stand up in your beliefs and tell the truth. Basically, like he lied. This was all a lie that got him in this position. You know, he had the worst lesson of learning not to lie. He tells the story of his friend who's causing trouble and lying, and then he gets fucking hung. He goes to heaven, and God's like, did you do all this? Yes, okay. Oh, by the way, go in the back door of heaven.
That might have been the best scene of the whole play when he's retelling that story, and that to me that looked like. It wasn't a caricature of minstrelsy. To me, that was something that would have really happened in a true minstrel show. And like the retelling of it removed that particular story from the larger story that we were actually watching. I thought that was probably one of the best scenes.
I think all of the best scenes from the play happen in the last 10 minutes, to be honest. they do. And that is proof that it's not through and through cohesively a great play. Yeah. And like the
I
fact that
characterize it as great, no,
or even I wouldn't even say, for I me to like the last 10 minutes of a play, if you can't hold my attention for a 2-hour play and give me an intermission and allow me to come back of my own volition, then there's something that is not airtight about your
production,
and you know your storyline, and you know it. Like, and that's when I was just sitting there, I was like, oh.
So and, you wanted to walk out.
Oh, if I had an intermission, I was very sure that and to the point where I was in the dark and I just like started to try to look and see the play bill to see if in fact I'll be able to leave.
Yeah.
I would have walked. I wouldn't have come back after the intermission.
It was too long.
I'll be honest with you. It moved fast to me. Like, okay. when I walked up, they're like, there's no intermission. I was like, really? And I'm not like, I've gone to Center Theater Group and gone to their plays before, but I don't go that often. But I felt like it was moving relatively quickly to me. I didn't think it was like a phenomenal play. I'll be honest. I didn't think I thought the cast was strong, but I wasn't like, wow. It wasn't like, wow, I was blown away.
Okay. So all the things that we said on top of the fact that they have, and I, you know, I don't have a problem with brothers playing stuff in drag. I'm not one of these people who's like, the black man always needs to be represented. But in this play, where we're dealing with a lot of cooning, and having the brothers, like, there were so many elements that I just didn't like about
it. Yeah, but I would think white folk would do that in their plays. I would think white folk would just maybe be like, I'm just going to let the man play as a woman.
But you know what? That's what I was going to say. I think the other thing was the reason why time moved at. I was so uncomfortable for the first 30 minutes. Yeah. Like, so for the first 30 minutes, for the first 20 minutes, I was looking for the white women laughing, seeing if they were coming back to see the play after they walked out. And then after the next 30 minutes, I'm uncomfortable a little bit. And then I'm just like, okay, well, this is the story and I'm chill. And then, like I said, for the next 2 or 3 days, I was sitting there. Do I like this? Well, how do I feel about this? Like, how do I feel about myself paying money? Like, what would I?
And that's a good point. Even when it's done in minstrelsy, is minstrelsy a word? Did I just make that up?
No, that is a word. Okay, that is a word. Minstrelsy is a word.
Thank you. Even when it's done in minstrelsy, the sugar coated to make it easier for the masses to digest. We have a case in point where they walked out anyhow, so we might as well have just told the story straight up and how gritty it was.
Oh, right.
Because no matter what, my next door neighbor was going to go see it. Actually, she might
if
be
you
seeing
believe
it tonight.
It's for the purpose of sugarcoating.
My next door neighbor is going to see it tonight, and she asked me, "Will I like it?" And I was like, "Yeah, it's for people who are prone to white guilt." Like, and she was rightfully offended, and she was like, what do you mean by that? I was like, if you're a white person who's ever felt guilty and sometimes feel guilty about white privilege, then yes, you'll like it and you'll think it's really smart.
Yeah, but you know what, I'm just gonna say this about the walking out. I think people only walk out, okay, this is gonna be a provocative statement, I think white people will only walk out of something like that when it's made when it's a joke and it's a buffoonery. They will not walk out of something serious for fear that something. I mean, you can't do that as a white person. Mm. I'm not white. I'm just saying I have friends that are.
That's interesting.
You know,
okay.
I just think that if it had been serious, I mean, just in talking to them, I mean, they're not going to walk out of something that tells a story in its full glory and in its all its seriousness. They're not going to walk out. They're just not. So
you're saying that it being a musical and all the levity allowed them to say. Deuces.
Make light of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not even the musical portion, because I think you can have, and I say this without the benefit of having seen it, but I'm just sharing personal thoughts and experiences. But I think based on the description I got from my dad, who was just like, it was a complete joke. But I think you can have a very strong musical. If you think about opera and plays like that, or musicals
Porgy
like that,
and Bess.
Those are like, you can sit there and cry in an opera. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? True. And those can reach you. True. You can make a musical very strong and passionate and serious. I'm not saying take that away from it. I'm just saying, he just said the rest of it just took it to another level. So
it didn't go deep. I would say it didn't go deep enough to justify the blackface at the end. Saw it coming, but it wasn't like...
It wasn't necessary.
It wasn't like it hit you so hard that when it came with that, you were like, oh, shit.
It was done because it was a minstrel show.
Yeah, right. It was like, we just have to do this.
We have to do this.
In case you missed what we were saying, message.
Yeah.
It was for the format. I think of like the part where they wiped it off. I think if they had shown them in blackface like a few more times, like every time they would, like the time where they would, when the guys would always do the time, what if they just had a two or three of the songs where they were actually in blackface?
Like if, if it had symbolic meaning?
Yeah,
like if they created meaning behind.
If they actually showed it, like
they were, you mean if they took this very serious aesthetic that oppressed us and gave
versus
it actual?
I need to.
That was my That was, and that's why it took me 2 or 3 days to be like, how do I feel
about it?
I needed to see 2 or 3 scenes of them keeping it on for them to be like, when he's like, keep your Mac it on. You just like, nah.
It would have been more powerful if they had just had it on the entire time. Yeah. But I wanted to bring it back to what Tasha's point about the brothers in drag. I intuitively knew this, but I wanted to fact check. That's a part of a minstrel show. Drag, brothers in drag.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Even though, that helps. Yeah. That gives it a pass. Yeah.
Even though during that time period you would have females in entertainment outside of minstrel shows, predominantly minstrel shows were all men.
You could, but then, drag, gosh, but then if you think about it, it's like, well, of course they would, because I'm like, that's just what they do now.
It's part of the cooning.
Yeah, I'm gonna make this man softer.
Yeah,
not as hard. So let me dress him up.
It's part of the cooning. So I mean, I think we've pretty much explained how we all feel about it overall. Back to my original point. If nothing else, if you choose not to support this play, that's your choice. At least take a moment to read about the actual event that happened. Because, again, this is a piece of American history I feel gets swept under the rug. We don't really know about it, and we definitely don't talk about it. So Scottsboro Boys, the Scottsboro Trials of 1931 in Scottsboro, Alabama. Check it out. Anybody have anything to say in summation?
When does it end at the Amundsen?
I want to say June 30th.
You're not trying to get rid of it, are you?
No. I'm trying to promote it. You know, let people go see it.
Yeah.
I think it's worth seeing.
Yeah, see it and come June to your 30th. Own conclusions. So June 30th, okay?
I'm just for black people going to the theater in general. So if you go just off the hype, go off the hype. And if you don't want to go because you don't want to deal with some coonery, I feel you.
Right. If it makes it easier for you, there's bars outside. Get a drink before you go in.
Yeah, go see something.
Right.
Yeah, go see something.
Well, we thank you for tuning in. Please join us again for the next Black is Bright. Peace.